This is Pastor Ron Laney from Pleasant Grove Church. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in to us today, and I hope that this message is a great encouragement and a blessing to your life. Here is some good news from the Grove. Amen. Lord, we just bless you so much. We thank you for your goodness in our life. Lord, we're going to turn our heart to your word. We're going to open up our spirit. We're going to open up our ears. We want to hear this morning. We ask you to speak, Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord. Make your word our bread today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to continue our thoughts from the subject. Lord, I need more wisdom. How many would confess that? I need more wisdom. We need more wisdom. And there's an epidemic of stupid breaking out everywhere, so you better watch it. It'll get you. It's everywhere, isn't it? It's good. So, Lord, I need more wisdom. This is like a prayer for us. So we're asking the Lord to help us. We've got a lot of decisions to make, a lot of things that always come at us. Professional stuff, work stuff, people stuff, kids stuff, family stuff, just general life stuff and morality stuff, temptations, things like that. We need the Lord's wisdom. I've invited you on this challenge that every day of the month, this month, we're going to read a proverb. And we're going to read the proverb that corresponds with the particular day of the month. So what's today? The day is the 19th, right? So we're reading Proverbs 19 today, Proverbs 20 tomorrow, 21 the next day, and so forth, so on. And just ponder these things. We're kind of we started in the middle of the book. So this is where you get these short sayings and comparative sayings and things, the parallel sayings, they call them, those kind of things. And really, the things that strike you, take some time to meditate on them. Because it's some pretty deep stuff. It's some good stuff in there. So join me in that wisdom challenge. All right, so we started last week in 1 Kings chapter 3. We looked at Solomon, and you know, he's known as the wisest man who's ever lived, apart from Jesus, known as a wise king. How did he get wise? Well, we saw, you know, God asked him a question in a dream. And Solomon had this correspondence or this conversation with God in a dream, and it was real. God heard his heart. God asked this question, what shall I give you? And we kind of pondered the idea. What if God came to you and almost like the, you know, we see the proverbial genie in the bottle. It's a, you got three wishes. What are you going to wish for? That kind of thing. Well, God for real asked him that question. What do you want from me? And it's like a blank check. Ask me anything. How would you respond? We kind of pondered some of that. Solomon's response was, Lord, I want to help. I need your help to be able to judge your people. Give me an understanding heart, or give me a hearing heart is what we talked about, right? Give me a heart that hears your word, that hears your wisdom, hears your voice, but also is able to hear people, able to hear about the situation and maybe even able to hear what other people can't hear. So he asked for this hearing heart. So we're kind of going to get into some of Solomon's writings today, and we're going to kind of start our journey over here in Proverbs. We're going to talk about the main thing. And you know what the main thing is? The main thing is to keep the main thing. Isn't that the main thing? And that's hard for us because we get distracted. There's all kinds of attractions and distractions going on. And so we're going to be looking at several scriptures. We're not going to really major on just one. We're going to look at several. So if you may want to crack your knuckles and get your fingers loose. And if you got your Bible, you'll fan through your Bible. If you got your phone, just get ready to move around in there. We're going to look at several passages. Let's start with just three right now, just reading through three. And I want you to hear. Pay attention. There's three words that echo themselves through these verses that we're about to read. Listen to Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Okay. Proverbs 24:3-4. Through wisdom a house is built, or life. Through wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Colossians 1:9, over to the New Testament. For this reason, we also, this is Paul's request, he's praying for the believers here, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. All right? Are you kind of tracking with what the three words are yet? Then the Lord spoke to Moses, Exodus 31, verse 1 through 5. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Now, outside of the creation of Adam, when Adam was filled with the very Spirit of God, he's filled with the breath and life of God. This is the very first mention after that creation event. After that, this is the first mention of what it is to be filled with the Spirit. And of course, Jesus has a lot to say about that. Paul does too. I have called this man, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels, for setting and carving of wood, and to work in all manners of workmanship. They're talking about getting ready to build the tabernacle is what they're doing. But did you see our three words? Well, they're kind of laid out right here. We can stop right here and look at this. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. We're actually going to look at them in reverse. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. That's our three words. Now listen to me. We have a tendency to make things religious, but this really brings it to the bare bones practicalities of our life. This man was filled with the Spirit not to preach, not to sing, not to get up on stage, not to lead a bunch of people. Do you see that this man was filled with the Spirit so that it could bless his work? That's big, isn't it? Do you know, no matter what kind of work you do, whether you're in the medical field, whether you're in the business field, whether you're in the construction field, or just in whatever sphere of influence, maybe homemaking, that kind of thing. Do you know that God wants to fill you with the Spirit, not so you can run down an aisle, not so you can have a good church service? He wants to fill you with the Spirit so you can, with your hands, make something good with whatever opportunities you have. Isn't that something? You know, God, he knows about electricity. He kind of invented it. He kind of knows how to do these things. And to deal with all the knuckleheads you got to deal with. He knows how to deal with them too. You know, God made trees. He knows about that logging business. You know? What retail, some of y'all in retail, some of you school teachers, those kind of things. You know, God can help you with that. And wouldn't it be something if we would ask God to fill us with His Spirit, not just for the great times we have together, thank God for those. But God can make you more artistic. You know, God wants a beautiful world. He likes beautiful stuff. If you don't believe it, look at your wife. It's a good time to say amen, guys. Mm-hmm. God likes beautiful stuff. He wants beautiful stuff around us. And there's something about an atmosphere that's created artistically that's beautiful. That has cohesiveness to it and attractiveness to it. You know, God likes that kind of stuff. If you don't believe it, how come some of y'all went to Gatlinburg to see all that beauty? Who do you think made all that? He likes beautiful stuff. And God filled him with His Spirit so he could do artistic works, work in gold, silver, metal. We've got a guy who works in metal right here. All right? He does all kind of stuff. Wonder if God could just bless his life to make good stuff that we would enjoy. Help point us more to the goodness of God. Huh. So God, it's not just about wisdom so you can be some kind of philosopher or theologian. It's not just understanding so that we can have a good conversation at Thanksgiving dinner. It's not just knowledge so that we can puff ourselves up and think that we know something nobody else knows. No, it's for real practical things that God wants to teach you how to make something beautiful right through wherever you are. So our three words, say them with me, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. So we're going to kind of go a little bit line by line, look at some scriptures on each one of these and just kind of be. So I need you to put on your thinking cap this morning, all right? You're going to school this morning now. We liked all the hype and having fun and doing all the things with preaching and getting excited and all that kind of stuff, but we got to think this morning. We got to get our minds right. Because if you're going to get wisdom, you're going to have to use your brain. Have to use your mind, all right? And I know it's early Sunday morning, but you're going to be all right. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Let's just add a couple more things to kind of understand what we're talking about. Knowledge. That's the information, right? That's the information, just to make it real simple. That's kind of the raw data. That's the information you get. Now, when we talk about God and His Word and His kingdom and revelation and insight, and this kind of knowledge that's unique to the Scriptures, we're talking about that comes when you hear it. Whether it be through you reading it, receiving it through a teaching, listening to it on a podcast, audio Bible, doing all those kind of things. You got to get it in you, don't you? You got to get it in you. That's why you need to be here as much as you possibly can. Get as much word in you as you possibly can. You need your daily devotions. You need to get as much word in you as you can. It's your job to get the seed. The seed's already there. It's your job to make sure it gets in your heart. Do whatever you, and to prepare your heart. So knowledge, that's the information. Understanding is when you begin to comprehend the information, right? That's from a spiritual standpoint, that's when you believe it. That's when you get it. You ever read a scripture or something and you had that aha moment where you, aha, that's it. Well, that's understanding came. We need that. Then you got wisdom. That's the application. Wisdom is when you get the right kind of knowledge, you comprehend it, and then you do it. You do it. And if we had time, we could go to James. James would say that's what God's after. God's not after you just hearing good stuff, understanding good stuff, and being smarter. God's after you becoming a certain kind of person in the world who does a certain or lives a certain kind of lifestyle. That's what he's after, right? So we've got to learn to do it. It's wisdom. It's like faith. It's only good when it's put into practice. It's only good when it's like being a disciple. You want to know what Jesus knows. You want to comprehend his teachings. You want to understand them. But it's all for the purpose of following, right? That's why I read after Jesus, not so I can be smarter. I need to be smarter, but the purpose is I know he wants something out of my life. He wants this wisdom to flow not just to me, but through me and come out of me and be an expression in the world. He's put you in a particular place. You've got a particular occupation. The scripture says he sets the boundaries of our habitation, that you live here because God has put something inside of you. This is where you belong for this time and this season in your life. And he put you here so that a certain expression of his goodness and glory could be spread out all over the place in this region. Do you believe that? If you don't, just stick with me. We'll get there. All right. So it's all for the purpose of following Jesus. Now this is the application part. That's like the shortfall of the hypocrite. They fail to do it. They even may know what to do, probably do, but then they fail to do it. So be careful. Be careful that we, in all of our getting, in all of our learning, in all of our devotions, in all of our reading and all that, be careful that you're not educated beyond your willingness to be obedient. That's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? All right. So this is what Jesus is after. He's after you walking this out. All right. He's not just after you learning to quote a verse. We need to do that. Need to memorize them. But that's not just what he's after. He's after us doing it. Look at somebody say, do it. Do it. That's what he's after. All right. So let's kind of go into each one of these. Let's break it down a little bit. I'll try to make this as painless as possible. All right. Knowledge. You got to have the right information, don't you? You got to have the right information in order to do the right thing. This is the idea of knowledge. And the Bible contains a particular kind of knowledge that's unique to all literature. And it's not just a book, it's a compilation of books that are put together that have been inspired, breathed out by God to give us particular information about our origins, where we come from. What does the scripture say we come from? We come right out of the heart, mind, and imagination of God. Made right out of his good earth. And the breath of his spirit. That's what we're made out of, part heaven and part earth. That's why we're qualified to help bring and join heaven to earth. That's kind of what we're made of. And we talked about it a couple of Wednesdays and nights ago about the breath of God. God's breath. God breathed into Adam. Adam was a hunk of clay. He was just a dirt bag, you know what I'm saying? He was just there. He was just there, just fashioned by God's hands right out of the dirt. And then God breathed into him. And Adam, he came alive. And life comes from God. It's part of him. And now think about this. Let's let your mind just be blown just for a second. When God breathed that breath into Adam, that breath got perpetuated from generation to generation to generation, all the way to us. And we're still breathing on that same breath that he breathed in Adam. That's crazy, isn't it? Whew. I like it. So, it tells us about our origins, our purpose. It tells us about our problem, the sin problem that we've got, this cancerous-like sin that's eating us from the inside out. That will ultimately lead to death. But he doesn't just leave us with the diagnosis of the problem. He gives us a solution. This is all contained in the scriptures. And I challenge you to find a better idea of what human life is about than in the Bible. You will not find it. It tells us about our destiny. It tells us about eternity. What happens after? What does life after life, after death, look like? The Bible's got a particular kind of information, and I promise you, it's the most important information on the planet. Thank God for what they find out in medical science. Thank God for what they know about business and management. Thank God for what they know about psychology and all those kind of things. But the most important information, the most important principles a person can have in their life to govern their life is found in God's Word. That's why you need to read it. You need to meditate on it. You need to study it, believe it, obey it. And if you neglect it, you will neglect it at your own destruction. You got me? All right. Hosea 4:6 kind of goes along that line. It gives us a warning. Hosea the prophet. I had a pastor one time. He said, "How'd that Mexican prophet get in there?" I don't know, Hosea. Anyway, that's a bad joke. Anyway, Hosea 4:6. Look at what it says. "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me." You're talking about Israel. "Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." Oh my goodness. Please, Lord, no. "My people are destroyed for a lack of" what? They don't have the right information, so they can't live right. And why do they not have the right? Is it because it wasn't given? No, because they rejected it or neglected it, we could even say. They denied it. They pushed it away. And could it be what God is saying through Hosea the prophet, that according to God and His kingdom and how He operates and what He wants and our responsibilities and our purpose and all the things that we need in our life, could it be what you don't know is killing you? See, we kind of flip the saying, what you don't know won't hurt you. Well, in the things of God, that's not true. The opposite is true. What you don't know may be killing you. So wisdom. So let's go back to our confession. What we confessed this last week. I need to know the Scriptures because they are able to make me wise in the things that matter most. Can you say it with me together? I need to know the Scriptures because they are able to make me wise in the things that matter most. So kingdom knowledge is about gaining kingdom power. Isaiah 53:11. This is said of Jesus, Messiah. "He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied." And this is Isaiah 53. That's "by his stripes we're healed." That's that whole passage. Great, great messianic passage right there. And towards the end of it, in Isaiah 11, it says this: "By his knowledge," by Jesus' knowledge, "my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." So when Jesus steps in on the scene, comes through Mary, born in Bethlehem, he steps into the world, and he has and develops and grows in this knowledge of God's plan and purpose to save the world. Jesus had special knowledge about a whole lot of things. In fact, if Jesus could come in here and just talk to us just for 15, 20, 30 minutes, whatever it might be, I'd hope it'd be a long time. Everybody in here, your mouth would drop to the floor and you would say something like what they said when they heard him. We ain't never heard anybody say anything like that. And it's not just about the content of what he said, because a lot of times he just was quoting Scripture. But it was the weight and the glory and the power that he carried, because he not only believed what he wrote it. It's his words. And we would not only hear what he's saying, there would be a special authority mixed with it, and it would go straight to your bones, as Mama would say. And you'd scratch and say, "We've never heard anybody like this before." Well, what you're hearing, this kind of knowledge come out of Jesus. All right? And here's the beauty of it. Jesus has shared a lot of that knowledge with us. We've got his teachings in the Gospels. He's shared a lot of this knowledge that brings salvation. He shared it. All right. What Jesus wants to do is become your teacher. That's the most often thing he was called, was teacher. And you need him to be your teacher. Jesus is the smartest person who's ever lived, and he longs to teach you some things. He's not just trying to puff himself up or just hold all this knowledge to himself. He wants to extend that knowledge to you. And he says, whoever wants to come, you come drink of this. You can come get in on this knowledge. You can come get in on what I want to tell you, what I know, so you can know what I know, so you can do what I do. That's Jesus now. This idea of this knowledge. All right. So Jesus is the smartest person who's ever lived. He knows about God's plan and purpose for your life, for salvation. He knows the ins and outs of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He talked to us a little bit about that. He knows how you can get into God's kingdom. And he sits down and has a conversation with a man. He said, you want in on this? Let me tell you, you got to have a new life. You got to be born again. He tells us how to get into it. He knows the best way how to live your life. That's what the commandments are about. They're not just about him raining down tyranny upon us so that we toe the line and do what the king says. No, it's about he wants you to have the best life possible. So he tells you how to do it. He's got special knowledge. In fact, Jesus, he's got the kind of knowledge that he knows how to take the molecules of water and make them turn in such a way that he can turn water into wine. He knows how to do that. You ever met anybody like that? Jesus knows how to multiply matter, and he can take a fish and five loaves, and he can even talk a little boy out of his lunch. That's pretty good knowledge right there. But he can take that fish and five loaves, and he can take that, and he knows how to multiply it to feed as many people in this county. He knows how to do that. That's your teacher. He's the one that wants to be your teacher. He knows how to suspend the law of gravity and walk out on water. And he knows how to speak to a storm and command that storm to stop. Jesus has the special knowledge of how to rejuvenate the human body. That he can come to a person who may be crippled or who may be blind or who may be ill and sick, and their body is betraying them and deteriorating right in front of them. And he knows how to speak to the human body and rejuvenate it. That's a special kind of knowledge. That's some serious medical knowledge right there. This is the man that wants to be our teacher now. Jesus knows how to see the invisible. He can see into the spirit realm. Beyond what we can see, he can peek behind that veil and he can see spirit beings tormenting people and living inside of people and driving people to darkness and destruction. And Jesus knows how to speak to that and cause that to go away. See, that's the kind of knowledge he brought to save many. Maybe the most important knowledge, Jesus knew how to face death. Take it into himself and resurrect on the third day. Now, you're not going to need that if you plan on living forever. But I got news for you. 10 out of 10 people die. And Jesus is willing to share the knowledge of how to walk right through death. Not even be afraid. Just walk right through it. Come out on the other side more alive than you were when you started. You might want to follow him now. You see what I'm tracking with? This is the kind of knowledge that he wants to impart. He wants to be your teacher. He wants to give you the right kind of information, the right kind of knowledge to help you live the good life in God's good world. That's what he's come to do. He said this, John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, for sake of understanding, if you abide in my knowledge, if you abide in my word, if you abide in the things that I know, you are my disciples indeed. And verse 32, and you shall know, you know this one, right? Say it with me. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. For the sake of understanding, let's say it like that. And you shall know the truth, and the truth that you know will set you free. Free from what? Well, there's a lot of lies that keep people in bondage. Keep them chasing the wrong stuff. Keep them, their ladder leaning on the wrong building. There's a lot of lies circulating out there. And Jesus said, I want to give you the right information so you can live the right kind of life in freedom. You tracking with me? All right. Well, there's lots more we can say about knowledge for sure. Let's shift gears. Go to understanding. So knowledge and understanding. Now, this is the idea of comprehension again. It's when you begin to understand the knowledge that he's given. You begin to understand. Jesus tells you what you need to know, and he was gracious enough to us to send the Holy Spirit so that you could help. He could help you understand the things that you need to know. You've got a built-in teacher, if you're a believer. You've got a built-in teacher. He has come to live on the inside of you, not just to give you those doodads going up and down your spine or make you feel good, but to help you understand the knowledge that is so important in order for you to live the right kind of life. All right? Jesus tells us what we need to know, then he sends the Holy Spirit and said, help them understand. Help them to understand, because you can only stand on what you understand. Does that make sense? We said it like this times past, the old saying, a confused mind always says no. An enemy, he's after that confusion. That's what he wants. He wants to produce that in our lives so that we say no to the things of God just simply because we don't understand. Now, Jesus calls pastors and teachers and people to help us, other believers to help us to understand what he's teaching us. All right? And understanding can come quickly. While you're even listening to somebody, maybe. Or it might take a minute sometimes. Anybody ever had to take a minute? You ever wrestled with something, just can't quite understand it? Or maybe a passage or truth, or maybe it's something that's going on in your life, you're wrestling, well, I don't understand this. Well, yeah. Seeking to understand the teachings of Jesus is the desire of his followers. That's really becomes our focus, to seek to understand. I want to know more, but unless I add understanding to it, it'll be to know, all right? And there is a battle over you understanding the truth, all right? Now, listen to what Jesus says right here. This is real intriguing. Matthew 13. I say Matthew 13, your mind ought to say the parable of the seed and the sower. Just remember that. Matthew 13. It's got several parables in Matthew 13. But maybe the main one is the parable of the seed and the sower. Remember, the sower went out to sow. The farmer went out to sow, to plant a seed. This is it. I don't want to read the whole thing. Can't teach the whole thing today. But verse 19. Remember, some of the seed fell on the hard ground by the wayside. Some of it fell on the rocky ground. Some of it fell on, you know, among the thorns. And other fell in good soil, right? You got that. Now, this is the seed that fell by the wayside on the hard ground. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, look at the spiritual battle that's over you understanding now. The wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his or her heart. And this is he who receives seed by the wayside. But there's a battle. In fact, the battle's going on right now, and it's going to really go on after you leave here. We're throwing out seed, and are you going to grab a hold of it? Are you going to do anything with it? And he says, if you decide that you're not going to do anything with it, or maybe you're confused by the whole deal, it says that there's a spiritual battle that the enemy literally comes and says, well, that seed ain't going to do nothing. Boom, the birds come and eat it. That's what Jesus said. And those birds are the wicked ones. That's the other forces. That's the evil forces that's trying to tempt us and pull us away. Understand. So we got Jesus. You hear him. He teaches a lot in parables, doesn't he? And parables are these stories, these short stories usually. They're a way for Jesus. Listen to this. This is kind of odd, but this is how he does it. And he says it like this. Parables are a way for Jesus to conceal truth, to hide it from the casual hearer, and to reveal it to his students. Isn't that something? He kind of wraps these great truths of the scripture. He wraps it in these stories. And people are just kind of passing by, casual, not really interested in following Jesus. They hear that and they're like, that just sounds like a bunch of hogwash. Y'all know what hogwash is? And Jesus is not interested in what he says. Don't cast your pearl before a swine. Because you can give a pig a pearl and it's still a pig. And guess where it's going to take that pearl? Right to the mud hole. So Jesus uses these parables. Now he's interested. It's a way to conceal truth, but it's also a way to find truth. Look at what Proverbs 25:2. We've got a lot of Proverbs today. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. That's hide it, right? But the glory of kings is to search out a matter. We kind of did some of that, you know, with Luke 15. We took 5 or 6 weeks to talk about Luke 15. What were we doing? Well, we were, as God's kingdom of priests, kings and priests, we were trying to search out the matter that's hidden in those words. That's what I try to do every time we meet together when I'm doing the Bible study. I know there's gold in them there hills. And I got to get my shovel and pick, and I'm expecting you to come with yours too. And let's go find out what that gold is. And it might be in Luke today, and we might be in Colossians tomorrow. We might be in Exodus the next week. Today we're in Proverbs. We're looking at all this kind of stuff. And we got to come hungry, ready to find out. I don't want to be on the hidden side of that truth. I'm going to be a faithful son and a faithful student, a disciple. And I want to dig it out. This understanding right here, this idea of understanding, as if we can use this phrase, this is what separates the men from the boys. Some things come easy. Most of the truth of God's word, you've got to put effort there. You've got to sacrifice. You've got to put the time in. If you don't put the time in, I tell my boys in baseball all the time, you get into it, what is it? Finish it for me. You get out of it, what you... Never mind, you ain't going to finish. What's that, preacher? You said it wrong. You get out of it what you put into it. Understanding truth is a lot like that. All right, so lots more we can say about understanding, but let's go on. So we got knowledge. We've received knowledge. We've gained some understanding. Still got a long ways to go. Now it's time to walk out the part we do understand. That's wisdom. Wisdom is the application part of it all. So you got the information, you got the comprehension, and now you got the application. And it's the desire of the righteous to be a wise person who not just knows truth, but walks in truth. So that's what we want to bring to our life is this integrity. A conviction, an integrity, a wholeness to our life to where we speak, believe, and live out the same truth. But what happens if I just know truth but don't live it out? Well, there's a breakdown there, isn't it? Because what God is after is me being a certain kind of person. He wants me to be wise, and he doesn't make any bones about it. He says, I want you to be wise and not a fool. And I know Mama taught me not to say fool, so I was reading Jesus a lot, and I was like, he said fool a lot. Lord, you said that. Mama said, I can't say that. But there's a whole lot of stupid in the world. And it seems like our school systems and our university systems, I mean, they got away from wisdom and all the application of wisdom. As I said last week, they were conceived and started and established on the idea to teach people the truth of God's word. That's why they were created. But nowadays, they've forsaken wisdom. And when you forsake wisdom, the only thing you got left is stupid. You all right? You know a wise person not just by what comes out of their mouth, but how they behave, how they live their life. That's how you know a wise person. Huh. Wisdom. Let's listen. Go back to Proverbs 2 again. 1 through 6. Oh, we got time. We're coming on downhill track here. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So who's our go-to source for knowledge? It's the Lord. Who's our go-to source for understanding? It's the Lord. Lord, help me. Help me understand. Who's our go-to knowledge for wisdom? It's the Lord. So Solomon's telling us right here, you need to talk to God about what you don't know so that you can know the right things. You need to talk to God about what you can't quite understand and what's not quite making sense. Talk to God about it. And beloved, here's the secret to it all. The blessing of your search for wisdom. Almost everybody here raised their hand. I need more wisdom. The blessing of your search for wisdom is not getting the right answer. The true blessing is the relationship you build as you begin to seek God, ask Him about all this, and knock on those doors. The relationship that you build with God is the gold that He's after and giving you. See, a lot of people just go to God for answers. Fix this, heal this, take this, help this. The disciple wants to be with Him. You can get your answer and not have the relationship. But if you have the relationship, you'll always get the answer. You see what I'm talking about? Are you tracking? You good? All right, a couple more. Proverbs 4, 5 through 7 says, so get wisdom. And look at it. That's an exclamation point. So when you're reading that, it's not get wisdom, get understanding. It's get wisdom. It's get understanding. You hear that? Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Kind of says it all again. So what you find out about the Bible, you find out about all these Proverbs, they just really keep repeating themselves in all different kinds of ways. Wisdom is the principal thing. What's the principal thing? It's the chief thing. It's the primary thing. I'm calling it the main thing. Wisdom is the main thing in your life that you need. And again, wisdom is not just knowing it. It's obeying Him, following Him, walking in His footsteps. You see, the call over our life is not to go to church. The call over our life is not just to read the Bible. The call over our life is to follow Jesus. Yes, and if I follow Jesus, I'll gather with His family. If I follow Jesus, yes, I want to know His word. But the call on our life is not to be a special kind of a religious person. The call on our life is to follow Jesus. That's where wisdom's found. It's found in His footsteps. And you read His words and His teachings, and He's laying footprints. He's saying, Ron, put your foot right there. Will you walk right there? That's what I'm saying. I'm saying love your enemies. Okay, that's another footprint. Lord, that's a big stretch for me. Walk in His steps. All right. Then it comes to Proverbs 9:10. Be the last of our Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord. That's been an odd set. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, let me just simplify it. It could be a lot of things, but let me simplify it for what we're talking about. It's reverence. It's honor. It's respect. It's this. It's being in a right relationship with God. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It involves humility. It involves you humbling yourself before God. That's why the word fear, that idea of fear. Because do we understand who we're dealing with? It's God, the Almighty. And it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning. See, you want to get on the pathway to wisdom where the first step is for you to be in the right relationship with God through Jesus. That's your first step. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father unless it's by me. You can't be in right relationship with Him without it. Let's close it out with this. Matthew 7. It's my second or third close, I guess, huh? Matthew chapter 7. You know this story. It's very famous. It's the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's kind of like the altar call on the Sermon on the Mount kind of deal. Jesus says this, starting in verse 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears, okay, we got the hearing, that's the knowing part, right? Whoever hears these sayings of mine, that's his teachings, and does them, that's the wisdom, isn't it? I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. For just sake of us understanding what Jesus is saying, who built his life on the rock. Okay, so what's the rock? Okay, let's keep going. And the rock is his sayings. It's him. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. The foundation was okay, so the storms didn't knock it down, right? So does a wise man get rained on? Does it thunder and lightning in a wise man's life? Or a wise person's life? Well, sure it does. The difference is not the storm. We all go through human stuff. The difference is the foundation that your life is built upon. And it's not that you're free of storms. It's that you become storm-proof. Weatherproof. It doesn't mean you don't get wet. It just means it's not going to wipe me out. And some of y'all been through, y'all know about this. You've been through some real deep, dark waters. And the only thing that held you together was your foundation. So that's the wise guy, right? It's a guy with wisdom. He's got the right knowledge. He understands it. He lives it out. Builds on it. Walks it out. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings, okay, well, they got some knowledge come to them. They hear these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, on that life, and it fell, slam apart. Timber. And great was its fall. Same rainstorm, same flood, very different result. What was the difference? Well, let's use this word sand. Now, I don't know about you, when I think of sand, I think of Panama City Beach or something. Well, there is no Panama City Beach in Israel. Learned this on one of my trips, standing there in Israel, in what they call a wadi, which is basically a floodplain. They got them all over the place. Here's the picture. If you can get this mental image in your mind, okay? We're standing in the middle of a canyon. It's not a huge canyon. The canyon is probably a couple hundred foot high. There's a lot of few hundred foot hills and mountains in Israel, about 1,000, the most of them. You're there. Up on that mountainside, that hillside, that's where you want to build your house. But Jesus is standing right there in the middle of this flood zone, this floodplain, and he picks up, this is my inference, I'm trying to understand it, but I see him do this. I see him reach down and pick up just a handful of silt. He's standing in that floodplain, he picks up a handful of silt, and he's looking, and he said, you know what, I'm going to tell you about a man who came down here one day, and he built his house right here on this. And all the disciples would look and said, no, we would. What kind of idiot would build their house? What kind of stupid would you have to be to come down here and build your house right here? And one day it's going to rain so hard that through those mountains it's going to come a gushing river of floodwaters and your house is gone. It's a little bit of comic relief. Jesus said there's a man that's going to build. This guy's not real smart. He's going to come down here and he doesn't know history. He doesn't have the right knowledge of what this area is about. He doesn't have the right knowledge about life. And this old crazy fool, can I say it like that? Kind of Medea style. This old crazy fool is going to come down here and he's going to build his house right here. When he ought to build it right up there. I mean, think about it. Okay, so we got the Pearl River down here, right? First week we were here, just a few months ago, first week we were here, we come through and it had rained. It's the last time it rained really heavy, and it was huge rain, wasn't it? Come down there, and imagine the old boy moved in from Memphis, Tennessee. He come on down here, and he went down there right there where that Pearl River is and down in that ditch right there, and he just said, man, I tell you what, I got the architect down here. I got Home Depot's about to deliver all this stuff. We're going to build us a house right there. And Mr. Glenn Johnson comes by and says, what kind of dummy is that? That old boy don't know about that. Who would build their house down there on the banks of the Pearl River? Unless they're Cajun and they put it on 12 foot of stilts or something. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, no, that's a whole nother sermon about what's going on down in Louisiana. That's a whole nother sermon. Good eating down there, though, I can tell you. You would think, that boy don't know what he's doing. Who would build their life down in that bottoms? Knowing one day, well, it may not be today, may not be tomorrow, might just rain a little bit, be okay, but then there's going to come one time that we'll come wipe that joker out. What wouldn't he build up there? What wouldn't he go over to Pleasant Grove Road and just buy some land and just build right there? You see what I'm talking about? And Jesus said, "This the person that builds in that flood zone really didn't pay attention to their history. That's the people that hear what I'm saying and just kind of slough it off and go about their business." Jesus calls that person a fool. The person that neglects the teachings of Jesus and fails to walk them out by choice, Jesus says that they're a special kind of fool. And life is going to come and wipe them out. Not to mention eternity. He talks about that. That's a storm coming for a lot of folks. For me, it's just going to be a rain cloud to get to meet the king. You know what I'm talking about? Are you tracking? This idea of the wise person, that idea, that this is what the fear of the Lord looks like. You tracking with me? Lord, help us. Help us. Thank you for the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding you've given us through your word. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the heart to understand, and the feet to walk it out. We want the good life, Lord. We do. We want a good life. But you frame it up a little bit different than what we may frame it up. Show us what that good life is. Show us how we can be the people that you want us to be. In the name of Jesus, we pray.